topic is this, and we're going to talk to Chip Lupo from Wallet Hub, but 57% say the cost of education is the biggest thing holding them back financially in a Wallet Hub survey. Chip, are you there?
I am here, John.
So we've got, no, John's off. Remember, I kidnapped him and threw him in the trunk so I could come in and fill in. It's Tom.
Oh, hey, Tom. How are you?
It's okay. Listen, the listeners don't know who I am either. We're all good. So with back-to-school sales tax holiday starting up, the personal finance company, Wallet Hub, you guys released its sales tax holiday calendar, highlighting the best times to buy in each state, yada, yada, yada. So tell us what we're talking about here.
Right. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but Illinois does not have this advantage because several states do, and I'm here in Columbia, South Carolina, and we have ours scheduled for, I think, the first or second week of August. And what that is, it's basically a tax-free weekend where you can go in and buy pretty much anything school-related and not have to pay sales tax.
So, Chip, we're in Illinois, so I'm going to hang up on you now because that would never happen here. I think we actually probably have tax holidays in reverse where they charge us double for 2 weeks out of the year.
I was about to go there, but since you live there, you can say that.
Here's a statistic that you guys came up with. 91% of parents think the cost of education is out of control. 53% of parents say they will spend more on back-to-school shopping this year compared to last year. I mean, those are real data points that aren't overly confident that these are the best of times for families and individuals going to school.
Right, Tom. And on top of that, where you mentioned the 91%, but the other stat that we have that kind of contradicts that is 72% of parents think their child's education is worth going into debt for. So you've got a majority that's acknowledging the problem, but you still have almost three-quarters of those that are willing to continue to contribute to the problem.
And think about that. 72% of parents think their child's education is worth going into debt for, and a lot of this is pre-college, right? So this is where education should be free. It's what most states have their real estate tax dollars going to pay for your education K through 12, and a lot of families are going into debt to buy a backpack, to buy pens and pencils and paper and school supplies, a new pair of shoes for a kid, that kind of stuff, right?
Right, and that's not counting all the extracurricular activities. If you're in any type of extracurricular activity, there's going to be added costs for uniform, for travel, for concessions, and if you're traveling out of town for lodging, yeah, the schools don't pick up those tabs either.
No, it's a great point. That's what, you know, we should just not have children. I think that's really the
right. Now, also when we're talking about the cost, there's also, it's not just limited to public education. A lot of folks are opting to, you know, to put their children in private schools, and often at a lot of financial expense, maybe having to take on a second job or maybe find some kind of other side gig to be able to finance that.
So I mean, and then we're talking, and this isn't really the topic, but I mean, how do you not have a two-income family? I mean, my mom worked to help us go to college and vacations and all that stuff to live. You know, I mean, it's a real problem when you read these. Aridian, did you come from two parents working, or this is the producer of the year? Yeah, she's giving me a thumbs up because she didn't want to talk today. So that's okay. She's laughing. But I mean, I mean, Chip, it's a different world. But to pay for all those things, I remember my son played travel baseball. My other son played travel lacrosse. My daughter hated that I even made her do any sports. She ran cross country. Thank God it was no extra money. But for baseball and lacrosse, we had travel tournaments. We had, you know, their equipment bags. We had, you know, I would always say to my son who played baseball, he'd say, "Dad, can I get a new bat?" I'd say, "Does every kid have a new bat?" He goes, "A lot of them." I go, "Good, just use theirs." I mean, it's too expensive,
exactly.
Right?
Oh, absolutely. And the equipment and all of that all adds into the cost of it.
So another statistic I thought was interesting for our listeners is that the best credit card right now is the Blue Cash Preferred Card from American Express. Offers 6% cash back on up to $6,000 spent each year at U.S. supermarkets. And at the supermarkets, you can purchase a lot of school supplies. So get your pens and your paper and all that stuff there and build that up if you get that credit card, and you'll get up to $6,000 back in cash, right?
Yeah, that's a great deal. And again, it varies by state, but sometimes the definition of what qualifies as school supplies is pretty broad. Some states will allow you to purchase things such as furniture, apparel, shoes, and also food. Now, the trick, though, with the rewards, and this, that is an excellent card for grocery, not only for grocery shopping, but it also gives you 3% back on gas purchases. So keep that in mind also. But the trick with these cards is, and this is sort of counter where we are as far as credit card spending, you have to pay that balance off every month.
Well, I think that's the big problem, right? I mean, this is the problem, Chip, right? So you say do that, use that card, and is there a charge for that card? Do you know?
There is a $95 annual fee,
right?
But the card will more than pay for itself within the first couple of months if you use it, if you take advantage of the 6% cash
I guess if you get the $6,000, up to $6,000 cash back, you get that. But I think a lot of people see the credit cards and they go, okay, let me get this one. And then I go to the gas station and the shell says I save 5 cents off that one. And then this card gives me this. And then I use my debit card. And then all of a sudden I'm paying $50 for this card and $95 for that card. And they can't, I mean, listen, I graduated college. I was CEO of a decent sized company. I can't remember all the different bills that I have to pay and services. How does somebody who's living hand to mouth remember what they've got going here?
Well, that's the key. It's all about budgeting. Set out a simple budget, stick to it, be as realistic as you can.
You sound like David Friedman from Tribeca, New York. He always says to me, Tommy, you got to have a budget. Don't you have a budget? I go,
and
you know,
adjust your budget accordingly too, Tom, because too many people are still working off of budgets based on pre-COVID spending levels. That's not going to work, because just as much as your expenses changes, your income is going to change. So you have to be able to adjust that budget accordingly.
Well, that's the thing, right? So we've gotten where minimum wage in a lot of municipalities has gone up a lot, but the cost of things have gone up too. I mean, I'm looking at this and it says you guys did a survey. Should financial literacy be part of the core curriculum? 92% say yes. I think everybody would say yes. I'm surprised 8% say no. They want like a third grader reading Shakespeare. I mean, we've got to teach kids the value of a dollar and how much things cost and how much you have to make and what taxes are. And how do we not make that? I mean, I know you're not a part of the school board, but I mean, it just seems crazy, right?
How many times, Tom, have you heard growing up, money doesn't grow on trees?
Are you in my house? Do you know Bill Gimbel?
Probably so, because he probably talked to my parents. They probably compared notes.
Well, he had a belt. He had a belt in one hand, and he had that coming out of his mouth in the other.
Yeah, but I think that was engraved on my father's belt, too, actually. But it's all about financial literacy. But, yes, and it's a great idea to have it in schools. At some level, we had a course called Consumer Economics, which covered all that simple interest, how to write a check, how to balance a checkbook.
Well,
and a lot of banks, a lot of financial institutions do this now. They kind of promote it. They'll have free seminars for their account holders or future account holders to just make them aware of basic financial literacy. But it does start at home.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Chip.
Then supplement it through the education system, for sure.
Well, I appreciate you being on. We got to run, but you know the good news or bad news is no one's ever writing a check again. It's Venmo this and Venmo that. So, with that said, it's time to take a break and weather and traffic. Okay, let's go to Herb Weisbaum, contributing editor at checkbook.org, and we're talking about the possible pitfalls of buy now, pay later. Sounds like you're too young for Popeye, the cartoon.
No, I'm not too young for Popeye, that cartoon.
Right? Wimpy? Right? I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly right.
That's what we're talking about.
I've never heard buy now, pay later described that way. That's really good.
You know what? I try. I'm trying to get ass back.
Well, for a showing guy, you're not bad.
Thanks. I appreciate it. I like. You know what? For a guest, you're not bad, Herb. I'll take it. So,
well, I've done it several times. Thank you.
Talk to us.
I mean, it sounds great. We see it pushed everywhere. It started as a way to buy large purchases online and is now used to buy everything, including in stores, groceries, gasoline. People are using it for DoorDash, all not really good ways to use a loan, because that's what buy now, pay later is. It's a loan, but the transactions just keep on going up. According to Capital One Shopping, they're going to top $122 billion this year. And it seems great because they promised that the standard model, and it keeps changing all the time, but the basic model is you pay for something in 6 weeks. So one payment down, it's four payments, one payment at the point of sale, and then three equal payments over the rest of the time period. No interest, but there can be penalty fees if you don't pay on time. And also, if they take the money out of your bank account, it's automatically they withdraw it, and you don't have the money in the account, you could get hit with an overdraft fee from the bank. And according to Bankrate.com, the average overdraft fee is currently $27. So this can be costly over time. And what we're finding is that people are taking out multiple buy now, pay later loans at the same time. So the credit people who are the nonprofit credit counselors tell me they're seeing people with 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 of these buy now, pay later loans going at once because they can't afford to buy what they're buying. So they buy it this way, pushing the can down the road, and then they keep running up all these gigantic fees for overdraft fees, and then they just get in a worse situation than they were in the first place.
So interesting. So yesterday, Herb, I was telling a story about two guys I knew a while back, and one was in the portfolio management stock picking business, and the other guy says to him, what tips do you got? You give me something. And the guy goes, you want to save 20%? And or you want to make 20%? He goes, yeah, what do you got? And he goes, pay off your credit card debt.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Or maybe 30%. Well, some cards are up to 30-something percent now. Yep, absolutely.
And so I think we're in this situation where everybody's looking for a quick hit.
Yep.
And you know, you don't get, what, $120 billion, you said, in this buy now, pay later and financing. And it doesn't mean that there aren't certain things you can do. And if you're super organized and they're giving you no fees, no interest for 6 months, and you're making your payment every month and you've got it in your calendar and you're good at it, that's free money. There's no reason not to do that. But if you're living hand to mouth and paycheck to paycheck and you're just hoping, you know, hope isn't a strategy. And we're seeing so many people. And I don't, quite frankly, we were just talking about it on an earlier segment. Sometimes it's buyer beware. And I don't necessarily think that all the lenders are predatory as much as we don't educate and teach individuals, our consumers, on the downfalls of this.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing is, if you're doing things like using buy now, pay later, which again is taking out a loan, they never use the word loan ever. It's convenient. It's, you know, they use words like that. Easy, convenient, quick credit check. If you're using it to buy gasoline and groceries and DoorDash, things are going to be gone before you even come close to paying off that loan. That means you're in some serious financial problems and should probably see a credit counselor, a nonprofit credit counselor, and see what to do with the situation.
And
that's the problem.
And the real problem, right, if you buy a couch or a car, obviously, most people finance something that big as that. But if you buy a couch or a TV or whatever it may be, a computer, and you're using it every day. You know, if people are really doing this to DoorDash food, I mean, that's crazy because you're paying, not only are you paying a premium on the delivery services, but half the time the food's cold anyways. I don't want to be paying for 30 years for a cold pizza, right?
Well, you're not paying 30 years for DoorDash. But two other things to point out. First of all, unlike credit cards, which have to do a credit check on you to make sure they think you're able to pay back the loan, buy now, pay later companies are not required to do that. They're not regulated like credit cards. They got around the regulations the way they were set up. So they do a soft credit check. They sort of kind of look at your credit. They say they have programs in place to make sure you're not going to get over your head. But because until very recently, we're getting to the point where buy now, pay later loans are going to be reported to the credit bureaus and are going to result in either a hit or a miss to your credit score. They're not talking to each other. They don't know. The one, Klarna may not know you have five loans with a firm or whatever's going on. So they may not even know you're getting yourself in trouble. This is a new whole Wild West situation where it sounds really good. There are downsides. Yes, there's a right way to use it. If you are going to buy something and take the free money, the payments, no interest, late payments, you're going to have the money in the bank to pay it. When everything comes out, you're not using it to stretch your budget, and then you get the advantage of that, great. And then maybe you want to open another one later. When you have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 going on at the same time, that is telling you something that you need to get some financial help and work out a situation where you can, you know, actually afford to live and do what you're doing. That's the warning sign when you're getting into that kind of situation.
Well, Herb, we appreciate the input and the advice. It's great information for all of our listeners. Go to checkbook.org. Herb Weisbaum is there. And my niece Ashley just texted me and said that the people she knows, everybody's using BNPL. and she's still living at home, so I know she's not, because my brother would beat her the way our dad beat us. So I think we're safe. But thanks for coming on with us, Herb.
It was a pleasure. Thank you, Tom.
Absolutely. So for those of you that don't know, Popeye was a cartoon character, a sailor. He ate spinach, made him super strong. But there was a character named Wimpy, and he always said, "I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today." And it was just pushing, kicking the can forward, and it's not the right way to go. I want to go to something else. Earlier I misstated, or I think I misstated, somebody texted in, that is it $6,000 back in cash or 6% on $6,000? It's 6% on $6,000, so it would be 6 times 6 is 36, or $360. And that is a big difference, so I apologize if I said that incorrectly. It would not be $6,000 cash back. But $360 pays for a lot of pens and pencils and erasers and that type of stuff. So we are we got another minute left, and I'll be in again tomorrow, Wednesday, from 6 to 7 for John, and Thursday, though the way we're going, he may fly back early just to make sure that I don't get signed to a lifetime contract here. Things are going so well already. We got to remember, the name of the show is Your Money Matters, because it's true. Your money does matter. And I would really, really beg and plead to anybody listening, take the time with your kids, no matter how old they are, to start talking about dollars and cents and savings. And I know I sound like an old guy, but take them to the bank, get them an old fashioned deposit book and deposit account, and let them show it. And if they don't give you one, create one on an Excel spreadsheet where they can do that. Because it's really important, and we're going to have more and more debt. And the reason we have debt as a country that's uncontrollable is because we have debt as individuals that's out of control. So let's do our service here, and whether it's a niece, a nephew, a neighbor, whoever it is, a cousin, let's do that.